Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on diet when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion either. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now it's time that you and I get wise and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, these philosophers and preachers and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this global 2000, this New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to do just that, why don't you call and write to the law school and ask for our free general law CD package. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult homestead. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Hey, we're talking about a life-threatening problem over here called diet. This diet thing over here that I mentioned the last time from the Pottinger study, and Weston A. Price pointed out to you that these guys had studied native populations of people that didn't have tooth decay, rheumatism, arthritis, heart disease, lived to be 100 years old, or at least a lot of them did. They almost all of them lived to be 70 or 80 or 90. I told you about Jack LaLanne. He's in his 90s now. Well, you know, when you go to the store, we like to buy things like 1% fat milk, you know, skim milk, or 1% or 2% fat milk. And cows don't produce 1% milk. Did you know that? There's no cows that produce 1%. They produce about 3.5% to 4% or 5% fat in the milk. And then we want to buy eggs without yolks, and so we buy pre-packaged processed foods at the store. And we buy eggs without yolks and milk without fat. And then we suck up multiple vitamins. And we take these vitamins and minerals, or we're looking for foods that are heavy in vitamins and minerals, or that have something in it that we think we need or we ought to have, like the yolks or the eggs without yolks or the 1% milk. And what that's telling us is that chickens, boys and girls, they don't lay eggs without yolks. And cows do not give 1% or skim milk. God then must have made a mistake when he made foods for us that contained 3, 4, 5% butterfat in the milk and eggs that had yolks in them. Because we go to the store and we find that the Kraft people have made this new product. And we like things that say new or improved or sale or low calorie or no sugar added or something like that. And so we buy these products, and then we find now in the early 21st century that we've got a 27% of our population that are obese. Fat, obese. We got this real weight problem here in the United States, and I pointed out to you the last program, we didn't have that, you know, 60 years ago when I was a kid. Something happened in the last 60 years. We've made some kind of a change here in America over the past 60 years. That has brought about this obesity problem. I've mentioned to you a time or two that the cancer rate in 1900 was 1 out of 33. That is, in your lifetime, you could expect to get cancer in your lifetime, just one person out of 33. Today in 2006, it's one person out of two. That's 50%. I don't know what percentage. Let's just take one and divide that by 33. Oh, it's 0.030. You know, it's 0.3% would get cancer in 1900. Today it's 50%. And by 2020, they tell us that every person is going to get cancer once in his lifetime by 2020. That's 100% cancer rate. Now, they've been promising us a cancer cure, and they're telling us that we're living longer and that we've got better health than ever, and we got better drugs and better doctors and better ERs and better hospitals. Well, I'll concede that, you know, America's the best place to get sick in. We have the best medicine in the world. In fact, there was a senator the other day that had an aneurysm in his brain. They took him in, operated on it, saved his life, and they say he's going to get better. And, you know, that's America for you. In ordinary times, you know, in the past, if you had an aneurysm and your brain started spilling blood around in your brain cavity, you were a goner. You were dead. Dead. D-E-D. Well, nobody ever asked the question. I was watching Katie Couric the other night. She didn't ask the question, why did the senator's blood vessel give way and start leaking blood? She didn't ask that question. And I'm going to ask the question, why did the senator's blood vessel break and start leaking blood into his brain, which could have been fatal if they hadn't operated on him and had this brain surgery? I'm older than that senator, and my veins haven't broken, and my brain isn't suffering from aneurysms. Why is that? Well, copper. Copper works in enzymes needed for elasticity of blood vessels in the aorta, for the strength of connecting tissue, and for the health of the entire cardiovascular system. It protects your nervous system from free radical damage needed for normal bone and lung development. It's needed for iron to be made into hemoglobin and for lymphatic function. Deficiencies cause aortic aneurysms. That's what he had, an aortic aneurysm, lesions, degeneration of the heart muscle, and it promotes heart disease and stroke. Too much zinc in the diet causes copper deficiency. Nuts and seeds tend to be high, followed by legumes, beans, peas, and lentils. Whole grains and most vegetables and fruits grown in properly mineralized soil. Plant foods are the major source of copper. Most animal foods contain very little. All right, so let me just underline a couple of things in here. You see where it says beans, peas, and lentils? Well, when I was a kid growing up, I learned how to eat beans. And my granny, I was raised by my grandmother. My dad went into the army, you know, during World War II. And I was raised by my granny, and she was an old-timey lady her father came across the prairie in 1872 in a covered wagon. He was my great-granddad. Well, my grandmother's father came across the prairies from St. Louis, Missouri to California in a covered wagon, and his father, which would be my great-great-grandfather, was shot in the arm, his left arm, with an Indian arrow, and he lost the use of his left arm. I mean, you know, those were the old-timers. Those were the covered wagon days. And those people ate pretty simple diets. See, they didn't have Pizza Hut down the street. And so they ate a lot of beans because beans keep well. See, dried beans, you know, you can put a sack of beans in your covered wagon. And you can cook beans and you can eat beans, and they're high in protein and they're high in copper. And I can tell you right now, see, this senator from South Dakota, what his problem is, he has a copper deficiency. He doesn't know that. He's starving to death. That's what his problem is. And he almost died, but they got in there and they sewed up his vein. Now, they're not going to tell him, hey, doc, now what you need to eat is more pinto beans. But see, my granny, when I was a kid, she was raised on beans and lentils and stuff like that. And they give you gas, see. And today, when people get gas, you know, they think that that's something terrible. You know, if you let a fart, you know, that's just, my God, that's like using the N-word, you know, in polite company. It's just politically incorrect and we can't do that. Well, I don't know. I don't have a problem with that. I'm not very politically correct. Of course, I'm not running for public office. And of course, I'm not a preacher and I'm not trying to get your tithes. And so I guess I can rip one once in a while, but I eat beans here and I would rather have flatulence than I would to have, my arteries breaking open, leaking into my brain and killing me. I mean, it's a choice that you got to make in life. You want gas or did you want arteries that won't hold blood? It's a choice. The senator made his choice. And I don't know what it costs to go to the hospital and have that artery fixed, but I imagine it was pretty pricey. Pinto beans cost 41 cents a pound the last time I bought some. 41 cents a pound. And we eat beans here quite often, and I've got plenty of copper, and I'm in pretty good health, and my cardiovascular system's working fine. It's been working fine for 68 years, and I'm in hopes it'll work fine for another 10 or 15 without that problem. Now, the reason I bring that to your attention is because it's part and parcel with the diet. Now, we like to go to the store and buy milk, 1% milk, because somebody convinced us that too much fat in your diet is bad. And, you know, remember last program I showed you in Leviticus 3, verse 17, God told you not to eat fat, animal fat. Don't do that. Now, we go to McDonald's and we eat hamburger, and then we go to Safeway and we buy 1% fat milk. What in the hell's going on here? Well, you see, the milk is a little different kind of fat. So if you look in the Bible, you'll find that God gave you milk and honey. In fact, he called the land of Palestine the land of milk and honey. And he gave us butter to eat. Butter is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. So the butter that comes from the milk is good for you. And the fat that comes from the animal, that's the, you know, that white gooey stuff, you know, that's on the meat, that's bad for you. And he said, don't eat that. That's the difference. Now, we pasteurize our milk. And when we pasteurize the milk, we destroy a very essential enzyme. So last time I mentioned to you, a fellow by the name of Joel Wallach wrote a book called Rare Earths. And he pointed out in his book, and there's many other sources as well, and over the years I've pointed this out to you, that when you kill the enzyme in that milk, it makes milk a deadly poison because you can't digest it. And this is why so many of you are lactose intolerant. You drink milk and it makes you sick. Well, that's right, because the milk you're drinking is poison. You see, God the designer, when he made milk, he put in 4% butterfat. And that's the right proportion, not 5, 6, 11, or 15%. The right proportion is 4%. And he gave us kine, K-I-N-E. Those are called cattle. We call those cows today. And those cattle are good for their milk production. And so we drink the milk that comes out of those cows, but we drink it raw so that we can get that enzyme. We need that enzyme to digest the milk so that we can assimilate the calcium. Because without that enzyme, you can drink all the milk in the world, but you can't get any calcium out of boiled milk. I mean, that's just the way life is. Now, this isn't going to change most people's dietary habits. And the reason I bring this to your attention is that God designed food. It's the fuel for your body, and you need to eat that food in its raw, natural form. Now, I know God made a mistake when he gave us unpasteurized milk, and fortunately for God, we came along and we learned of the error that God made, and so now we pasteurize his milk. And so we don't die from bacterial diseases, we die from degenerative diseases now. Just like the senator. I'm sure that the senator doesn't eat beans. If he ate beans, he'd have copper. So he doesn't eat beans, so instead he drinks coffee, more likely. and 1% milk, if he drinks milk at all. Eggs probably without yolks, and he's over here just watching his diet, just, you know, just really working hard at his diet and dietary plans. And then his veins rupture, and it becomes life-threatening. Now, when Weston A. Price went over to the Himalayas and the Andes, and he looked at natural people in natural foods, and looked at the people that were living there on the land, he discovered this over time, that the closer those people lived to civilization, the less time that it took for their health to deteriorate. So by the time civilization got to be within 80 miles of these native populations of people, see, he'd go over there to Nepal and he'd go way up in the mountains, you know, 100 or 200 miles away from civilization. And those people were living up there and they didn't have any health problems. And then as he would get closer and closer to the cities, he would notice that these people were eating more and more of the processed foods from the West. More and more foods that had more and more cooking. And cancer is called the cooked food disease. So if you've got cancer and you want to get rid of it, you stop eating cooked foods. That's one of the first things you do. Stop eating cooked foods. Eat all raw, natural foods. And all of a sudden, you drink juices, you know, carrot juice, you know, instead of Coca-Cola. I know, it's a wild change. But all of a sudden, the cancer goes away. And then you can recover. In the case of this senator here, now, if he would change his diet right now, if somebody would walk up to him and say, okay, doc, now the reason that aneurysm occurred in your brain is because of a copper deficiency, and he'd start eating more nuts and seeds. Here's a neat thing for you to do. I'm sitting there watching television, and I reach over, and I've got a quart of seeds sitting next to me. And these seeds are pumpkin seeds. I know this is kind of crazy and wild, but, you know, I sit there and I eat these pumpkin seeds. And I eat pomegranates a lot. You know, pomegranates are full of seeds. And then, you know, grapes, you know they've got seedless grapes now because people don't want the grape. See, the only thing that's of value in the grape is the seed. The rest of it's just sugar water in a tough skin. And people would rather, you know, eat sugar water in a tough skin than they would eat the seed. The seed's where all the nutrition's at. I just thought I'd share that with you. What you do is you break it open, eat the seeds, and throw the grape away, is what you should do. Same thing with potatoes. You know, when I eat potatoes, I eat the skins. Now, you got to be careful about eating the potato skins, you know, when you're eating in a restaurant, because they've got all kinds of chemicals on those potatoes. Those potatoes are chemically grown. So you might want to think about that. But all of the vitamins and minerals are right there next to the skin. And so here on the farm here, when we raise potatoes, or if I buy organic potatoes, I cut my potato open. I take the white out, you know, that white stuff on the inside of the potato, and I put a little natural butter, you know, raw butter, on the potato skin. I eat the skin, and I like to eat it with salt. And so, you know, that Morton salt that you buy in the grocery store, the blue, you know, the blue package, you know, with the little girl, and when Morton. But when it pours, it rains, and when it rains, it pours, or whatever it is. Look, see, that's sodium chloride. That's really bad stuff for you. So I buy salt. I pay $22 a pound to get salt out of the North Atlantic. I buy it from France. I know it's crazy. I don't deny it. I'm a lunatic. But the way they process that salt, you see, salt is good for you. Salt's got a lot of minerals in it. But what they do with salt here in the United States, they take all the minerals out of the salt and give you the sodium chloride, which is poison. Now, that same sodium chloride, before they heat it, I mean, they heat that stuff to 1,100 degrees. I mean, that's pretty hot stuff. And then they work it over. And that salt, you know, that you buy here in the grocery store, that stuff's not fit for an animal. But we feed it to humans. Same thing is true with fluoride. I mean, that stuff is deadly toxic poison. It's not fit for an animal, so we put it in the water supply, and we humans drink it, and then we wonder why it is we're getting sick, you know. What's wrong with our diet? Well, water's one of the first components of your diet, and that's poisoning you. And then your body has to make fat to store all of that fluoride and chlorine. And so that's why we're getting fat. You know, we didn't have a fat problem before we started putting chlorine and fluoride in our water. Did you know that? Did you think, you know, 60, 100, 200 years ago we had this fat problem? We didn't have any dietary problems. My granny never had a dietary problem. She never took a vitamin. My granddad never took a vitamin. My great-granddad, Snyder, he died at age 92, had all of his teeth, and he never, to my knowledge, never took a vitamin. Never heard of anybody saying that he needed vitamins. I take vitamins today because the food that we eat today is minerally and vitamin deficient. And so I'm looking for better places to find vitamins and minerals, and I try to grow as much food here on good, healthy, nutrient soil as I can. And I suggest that you think about that also, that maybe if you bought more of your foods from the farmer's market, maybe if you concentrated on growing more yourself, educating yourself, and giving yourself a better diet, you might do a little better. Let me show you another little thing. Where do you get vitamin A? Vitamin A. Think about that. Well, we all know we get it from carrots, don't we? Okay. Well, here's a little scientific fact. There's no vitamin A in carrots. And that's because vitamin A comes from animals only. Vitamin A comes from animals. And the vitamin A that you think you're getting in carrots is called beta-carotene, and it's something different from vitamin A. Although it's called vitamin A, it isn't. And this vitamin A is one of these essential nutrients that you've got to have. And you think that you're getting it from the carrots and you're a vegetarian and you're not getting it because you don't eat animals. And that's where you get it, is from the meat of animals. I just thought I'd share that with you. It's one of these little odd facts that it's an urban legend. So we listen to these urban legends when we talk about diets. And then when you get to looking into it, you know, this 1% milk over here, they keep telling us that it's so good for us over here, but boys and girls, it's killing you. These eggs without yolks that you're buying, these processed foods, they're killing you, and they're making you fat and killing you. Now, what you really want is organic, native populations. That is, native populations of people were eating organic, but they never knew that they were eating organic because the word organic hadn't been invented yet. So when Weston A. Price was over looking at the natives in Africa or Nepal or down in the Himalayas or the Andes Mountains, these people were eating organic foods. Do you know that? That is, they're eating foods that are grown on natural soils without chemical fertilizers. Now, these chemical fertilizers are great. They're just wonderful stuff. They come out of oil cracking plants. They come out of chemical plants. You know, it's an oil-based derivative. What it is, it's a waste product that we needed to get rid of. And so when we started driving automobiles, you know, from about 1900 to 1920, started driving automobiles, we needed gasoline. So some enterprising people like John D. Rockefeller, they went around the country and they were drilling oil wells, and they found the oil and they took it in and they processed the oil, and they came up with these chemicals that were left over. And they said, now what in the world are we going to do with these? Kind of like the aluminum problem. You know, the aluminum manufacturers were making aluminum and they were making this product that was called fluoride. And they said, what in the hell are we going to do with this fluoride? It's a dangerous, toxic waste. So they said, well, let's put it in people's drinking water. People are dumb, and they'll drink this fluoride in the water, and then we can get rid of it, and we can actually make money. We can charge for it instead of having to pay to dispose of this toxic waste. And so the chemical companies did the same thing. The big oil processors, they said, what are we going to do with all of this nitrogen, potassium, and potash in its chemical form? Let's sell it to farmers. Let's put it on the land. Let's just distribute it all over the country. And it's wonderful stuff, because if you take a look at a field of corn, you got nice green ears, and it's great stuff. But what it does, it makes the corn grow, but it doesn't do anything to make that corn pick up the nutrients out of the ground. So I got to tell you a little story here. I had a farmer come down here one time from Iowa. and we're talking about this thing of nutrition. He says, you know, I had a nutrition problem with my pigs. He said, I had these great big fat healthy pigs on a ConAgra ration and a ration, and it was just going along great and everything was fine. And one day I went in and I noticed that there were some dead pigs. And so we picked them up, and we were wondering about it. And next day, we went and found some more dead pigs. And this went on. And finally, he said, this is getting serious. And so he called the vet, and the vet came out, couldn't figure out what it was. So they called the university. And so the university comes out, and the university takes some dead pigs in, and they analyze them. And they found out that these pigs were dying from a protein deficiency. And what had happened was the pigs were eating a ConAgra ration with 6% protein. Now, they didn't do it on purpose, but they thought that the protein content was 8% or more, but it was less than 8%, it was 6%, and they corrected the protein deficiency, and the rest of the pigs thrived, and they got by fine. But a pig cannot survive on a 6% protein ration. Now, what is happening here is that the protein content of wheat in 1880 in Kansas, to give you an illustration here, was 24%. Today, it runs 7 to 13%. Same thing with corn. As the land is depleted of its minerals, its nutrients, then the plant will succumb to insects. See, here comes God the designer again. And so when you see a corn borer on a corn plant, the farmer jumps up and down. He says, oh, my God, we've got corn borers in our corn. He rushes off, and he buys some toxic chemicals, comes out and sprays his cornfield and kills all the corn borers. Well, that makes all the sense in the world if you stop and think about it, because if corn borers are eating the corn, then we need to kill the corn borers, and it takes a lot of time, effort, and energy to go out there by hand and smash them between your thumbnails. So the logical thing to do is to get something that you can spray over the whole field. So we get airplanes and we spray the fields with airplanes, or we get tractors and big booms and we spray the fields with the DDT or something. It kills all the corn borers, and then we harvest the corn and we take the corn in and we grind it up and we make cornflakes out of it, and we process this and we sell it to you in the store, and your little kid throws himself on the floor of the grocery store, you know, or the supermarket, and screams and yells because he doesn't have any self-control and he's not disciplined or trained by his parents, and he says, I want those Kellogg's cornflakes. And so you, being a good mother, you know, not disciplining your kid and all, and so you buy him these Kellogg's cornflakes, and you take him home, you feed him these Kellogg's cornflakes, and as time progresses along, the kid's got cavities. So you take him to the dentist, and the dentist says, well, if you'll floss your teeth, son, and brush your teeth every day with fluoride Ridgecrest, and come into me twice a year, you know, it'll give you fewer cavities. And so here's this kid, he's eating the Kellogg's cornflakes, kicking and screaming all the way, flossing his teeth, brushing his teeth, comes to the dentist twice a year. And it kind of reminds me of the old commercial. You know, this little girl comes home, she's yelling and screaming. And she says, hey, Mom, I only had two cavities. Well, if you had two cavities every 6 months, that'd be four a year. If you're 10 years old, when you start having these cavities, and you're having four a year for the next, say 60 years, isn't that 240 cavities? Last time I was into the dentist, he charged me $96. So let's see, if we had four, let me just multiply this out on my famous Sharp Texas Instruments EL1197. We have four cavities a year. Times 60 years, that's 240 times 96, that's $23,000 for old Ben the dentist up here. Now Ben the dentist up here, he needs that $23,000. I don't deny that from me and you and everybody else. But when was the last time you saw that your dog had cavities, or your cat? Or when was the last time that you noticed that your cows or your sheep had cavities? And when was the last time your horse brushed his teeth or flossed? Now listen, horses and cattle and cows and pigs and deer and muskox in the tundra of Alaska. Don't brush, don't floss, and don't go to the dentist, and I don't have any cavities. But they never eat anything that God didn't design them to eat. Well, not until you put them into captivity. And then you start giving them some man-made diet, and then they start having problems. You know, like the Pottinger cats. You lock them up in a cage, and you feed them pasteurized milk. Yeah, you can give cats tooth decay with pasteurized milk. But cats won't drink pasteurized milk, and cows will not eat GMO food. Well, not if they've got a choice. So you can take these GMO grains, and you can put them in a trough and bring your cows in, and then put another trough in there that has the open pollinated seed in it, and they'll eat the open pollinated right now. Cows can tell the difference between the GMOs. You can't. I can't, but the cow can't. Now, these GMO foods we're starting to find out now are causing us some health problems. In fact, the genetic foods are causing you to get fat. That's another side effect from GMOs. But there's nutritional deficiencies in these GMOs, but of course the average American doesn't care about nutrition. See, he's not concerned about copper in his beans. He's just concerned about, does this pizza taste good, and is the Coca-Cola, does it go along with it? And he'll eat some vegetables, so he has a salad with some sweet sauce that he puts on his salad in the Pizza Hut, and he says, well, this looks like a pretty balanced diet to me. Now, everything on that Pizza Hut pizza over there is processed. The cheese that goes on there is probably even artificial. Probably isn't even real cheese. And then we wonder why it is we get sick, why it is we get fat, why it is we have poor health, arthritis, and rheumatism. Well, it's the food that you eat. That's what your problem is. Now, probably most of you listening to me right now, I haven't got a clue as to what kind of food to eat, and I'm not going to tell you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you how to find out what kind of food you ought to be eating and how to solve your problem. I'm going to tell you how to do that. And then you can decide, you know, is this what I want to do or not? Now, the average guy, the average Joe Sixpack over here, and I had a guy tell me this one time. He came to school here. He said, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. So I told him, I said, son, I'm an educator, and I would be derelict in my duty, and I'd be stealing your money if I didn't give you the facts when you come to school here. And my job is to give you facts. Now, I don't tell people how to argue a case in court. I just tell them, here's what you got to do if you want to win that case. You know, here's the way you cross-examine, and you're going to get the truth out of this lying sucker. And if you don't, then you're going to lose the case. I tell them, here's what we do. So I'm kind of like my third grade teacher, Mrs. Wild. She said, I'm not going to teach you how to think. Or she said, no, I'm not going to teach you what to think. That's what it was. I'm not going to teach you people what to think. I'm going to teach you people how to think. And I'm not going to do this research for you, but I'm going to teach you how to do the research for yourself so that you can always be independent and self-sufficient. So Mrs. Wiles taught us how to read by phonics so that we could sound a word out. I can look at a word that I've never seen before and sound it out and get, you know, fair to middle and close. And then when you get down on the bottom line, she said, what you want to do is to know how to look this word up in the dictionary so that you can find out what its meaning is, because I'm not always going to be here. I'm not always going to be here. And I'm not always going to be here to tell you people what to eat. So I'm going to teach you how to figure this out for yourself. So stick around while I give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the webpage. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. That's the number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications so endorsed by the Law Hour are going to reciprocate, but most of these authors and publications, keep in mind, that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, or they're sectarian or racial or they're ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. But these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you do hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. And for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or call us here at the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Now, I mentioned to you that there are 92 essential elements that you have to have. Now, I was looking the other day on a package of, I think it was Info Meal or something like that, Similac maybe. It's a formula. It's baby formula. And they were bragging that it has 12 essential vitamins and minerals, and it's just jam-packed with all kinds of nutrients that baby needs. Now, this Infamil is a manufactured product. And it could well be that if your baby, for some reason, you went dry, you know, mothers, you know, you don't have enough breast milk, you might need to give them something like that. But did you know that a woman, this is a human being, this is a human female Homo sapien, did you know that your breast milk has 106 identifiable elements to it? I mean, it's got copper and iron and zinc and vitamins and minerals. It's got 106 things in it. And this Infamil stuff has 12. Now, most women would rather bottle feed a baby than they would to breastfeed it. But that's why we Americans, at least here in the United States, my observation is why we have so many little children that are weak, spindly, sickly, puny, who constantly have earaches and tonsillitis and all kinds of problems, which makes good business for pediatricians. I don't deny that, but it makes bad health for these children growing up. And then these children end up with, ADHD and all learning problems and all kinds of things. These are nutritional problems, kids. They're either starving to death or they're being poisoned, one or the other. Now, we poison our children with vaccines. We give them 35 of these shots. Probably they could survive the shots. It's the thimerosal that they put in these shots that give them autism. And this autism, by the way, now affects 1 out of 166 babies. 1 out of 166. Not very many statistically, but if you've got one that's got autism, boy, that's a problem, isn't it? Now, I noticed out in California, they banned thimerosal in the vaccines, and autism dropped in half. And that was just last year. In a year's time, it dropped in half. Now, you know, it's just anecdotal evidence, and I'll concede that, but hey, kids, then maybe that's something for us to look into, because, you know, people have been saying for years that it's probably the thimerosal in the vaccines that's causing your problem. And again, that's a mistake that God made. God made a mistake by not vaccinating your child. It's obvious that the doctors and science know better than God, but you know, I didn't have any vaccines, and I lived to be pretty old. And I told you about old Abe Snyder. He lived to be 92, never had any vaccines. My granny never had any vaccines. She died at 86 or 88. So before vaccines, there was life. I just thought I'd share that one with you. And if you want to get vaccines, that's fine by me, but it's another poison or toxin. I think I'd avoid that if I could. All right, now I told you about some of these vitamins and minerals. I gave you a couple of examples. I'm going to give you another example here of iron. Iron carries oxygen to every cell as a part of hemoglobin in red blood cells. It enables cells to generate energy required for making new cells, amino acids, hormones, and immunity. You know your immune system needs iron. It needs the co-nutrients copper, folicin, and B6 to be made into hemoglobin. Deficiency of iron or co-nutrients causes chronic tiredness, weakness, regular headaches. You know, people complain about headaches all the time. Headache. I got these migraine headaches. You know, if you take a look at your diet and the vitamins and minerals whose symptoms are headache, and if you'd concentrate on those vitamins and minerals, I'll just bet you your headaches would disappear. So they take the ibuprofen, and they take Tylenol, they take aspirin, and they get real excited, you know, and they say they argue with one another, and they'll tell you that ibuprofen is more effective against headache than Tylenol. Kids, why don't you forget the drugs and concentrate on the nutrients, and I think you'd be getting places faster. Now, I'm an old man, and I could count on probably one hand the number of times that I've had a headache. The biggest headache cause that I've discovered is Jack Daniels. Now, I've imbibed a little from time to time, and I noticed that when I would, you know, try to empty a bottle of Jack Daniels at a party or something, that the next morning I'd get dry mouth, and I'd get the heaves, and I'd get headache, and I didn't feel too good. But it didn't take me long to figure out what the cause of my malady was. Because, you know, the first time, you know, I looked around and I said, God, there must have been a strange virus running around at the party, and I must have caught that virus, and that's what made me sick. So I went out and tried to drink another bottle of Jack Daniels. Well, you know, even a slow learner like me, after about five or six trips, you know, to the toilet, puking your guts out, your head's throbbing, and you're sick as a dog, and you got dry mouth, and all these times you're out drinking Jack Daniels. And then I noticed the times when I wasn't drinking JD, how good I felt. And I noticed that when I wasn't drinking Jack Daniels, I felt good, and when I drank it, I felt bad. Then I'd stop drinking, I'd feel good, and I'd start drinking, I'd feel bad. Well, pretty soon, you know, you start putting those together, and pretty soon you figure out Jack Daniels causes bad headaches. So, you know, you could sit there and suck on bare aspirin until hell freezes over, but I'll bet you that the Jack Daniels is probably a bigger culprit than you gave it credit for. So, this iron is a problem that you have. You can get it from parsley, spinach, butterhead lettuce, Swiss chard, bok choy, cabbage, mustard greens. I mean, there's 55 different things listed here that you can get this iron from. And I'm not going to give you a lesson in nutrition here. I just wanted to point out to you that your nutritional deficiencies over here produce symptoms. And most people, when they have symptoms, want to run to the doctor and have the doctor give them some new miracle drug to take the pain away. Like the senator I told you about, you know, he's got a copper deficiency. The copper deficiency gave him an aneurysm, and he's going to go back to eating what he's always eaten, you know, Coca-Cola, Pizza Hut, and he's going to have another aneurysm. He's going to die. It'll kill him. Now, the solution to his problem is copper. The solution to his problem is beans. And he's going to have to learn to get used to gas, that's all. I mean, that's the way life is. It's a choice that you have to make. I choose the gas over aneurysms. All right, now there's 92 of these things. I could sit here and tell you about, enzymes and essential fatty acids and amino acids and other vitamins, you know, and tell you the story. And a guy by the name of Joel Wallach, you ought to look that up on the internet, Joel Wallach, I think you'll like this guy. He wrote a piece here called The Argument for Expensive Urine. And he says, most catastrophic diseases of animals and humans, cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, osteoporosis, arthritis, and birth defects can be prevented for the price of one soft drink every day. For the price of a Coke a day, you could eliminate those diseases. However, if you ask the average physician, should I take mineral and vitamin supplements, he'll answer like the apparently inexperienced doctor in the recent April 6th, 1992 issue of Time magazine. We get all the vitamins we need from our diets. Taking supplements just gives you expensive urine. That's the attitude of medical doctors. And that's because, you see, boys and girls, if you ate correctly, you wouldn't get sick. And if you don't get sick, you're not going to get pained. If you don't have pain, you don't need to go to the doctor. And you probably won't go to the doctor unless you're motivated by pain. Symptoms. So, hey, listen. If I was a medical doctor, I wouldn't be suggesting that you eat more iron and cabbage and Brussels sprouts. In fact, I think I would be suggesting that you watch your sweets and suck more Cokes and eat it more at Pizza Hut, if I was in the doctor business. This guy Wallach, now he's in a little different business. He sells vitamins and minerals, and so he's sitting over here saying, you know, would you rather take these vitamins and minerals? Now, I would rather get my vitamins and minerals out of the food that I eat. But I told you about the pigs. And what's happening is that we don't practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees, and because of that, the corn that we're harvesting, that we have chemically fertilized, grew great big looking luscious ears of corn that don't have enough protein, iron, zinc, manganese, etc. in it. And so we eat this deficient food. And we cannot get any more iron or manganese or potassium or proteins out of the corn than is in the corn. Kids, you can't eat 7% protein wheat and get 24% protein out of it. You can't get any more out of it than's in it, can you? I mean, if you get 5 gallons of gas in your gas tank, you can't get a 300 miles out of the tank of gas, can you? Now, the good doctor is obviously not in step with current research, and I would like to take the liberty of quoting an April 1992 editorial by Natalie Anglier of the New York Times under the following heading, Vitamins Play a Vital Role in Long-Term Health. Long considered to the fringes of medicine, the study of how vitamins affect the body and help prevent chronic disease is now winning broad attention and respect among mainstream medical researchers. Scientists who thought the major benefits of the nutrients were to prevent deficiency diseases like rickets and beriberi are learning that most of the vitamins play far more fundamental and long-term roles in the body than anybody had suspected. And they're now gathering provocative evidence that vitamins influence the health and vibrancy of nearly every organ and that these enigmatic chemicals may help forestall or even reverse many diseases of aging, including cancer, heart disease, osteoporosis, a flagging immune system, neurodegeneration, and other chronic disorders. Like Alzheimer's disease is linked with selenium deficiency. And you take this guy, there's a movie star here, he was just in the last election, he's got Parkinson's disease, and he's got the shakes real bad. Oh, his name is Fox. I believe his name is Fox, and anyway, he was campaigning and promoting stem cell research. Stem cell research. Now, I forgot what causes this Parkinson's disease. It's a nutritional deficiency, and Joel Wallach tells you what that nutritional deficiency is in his book on rare earths. 92 of these elements. I mean, if you've got Parkinson's disease or you've got beriberi or scurvy or something, you know, you've got a vitamin or a mineral deficiency over here, and it's manifesting itself in a symptom. And you don't need stem cell research and some treatment that's coming out of Park Davis 25 years from now. I mean, listen, you need help right now, don't you? I mean, look, if you weigh 422 pounds, don't you kind of need help right now? Not 25 years from now or 10 years from now or 5 years from now when some new pill comes out from Pfizer or Merck? Now, of course, maybe you've got a health plan and maybe you've got a lot of money or something like that. I don't know, but I'm kind of poor. I don't have a lot of money. And Wallach came up with a real neat idea. He said, what you do is you put a mineral block on the dining room table, and every time you walk by, you lick on it. It's what we do with cattle. Now, here's muscular dystrophy, and he's got a paper here, The Argument for Expensive Urine. And this article was submitted by Dr. Joel D. Wallach, consultant to Soaring Eagle Ventures Incorporated. I don't know what this is. I guess Soaring Eagle Adventures or whatever it is. Yeah, this is a brochure that came from the Cottonwood Health Cottage over in Greeley, Colorado. But I would go directly to Wallach. Just look him up on the web. Joel, J-O-E-L, D. Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H. I don't get paid anything for this. Just sharing it with you. And he says, I have no doubt that in the foreseeable future, the importance of minerals in our diet will be hailed as a fantastic new discovery. But in the meanwhile, my recommendation is to rather err on the side of expensive urine than to pay for an inexperienced physician's 1992 Mercedes. There are more physicians who die from heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and drug overdose than veterinarians. The advice concerning prevention from veterinarians is not only healthier, safer, and better, but also considerably cheaper. You need to get this Wallach's tape on Dead Doctors Don't Lie. While you're at it, tell him you want that audio tape, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. It's funny. You know, not that I like seeing medical doctors die at age 58, but you know, medical doctors die on average at 58, and Joe Sixpack Plumber, you know, drinking Jack Daniels and living our life off of Pizza Hut, on average, we die at age 75. Now, they got a picture here of a guy with muscular dystrophy over here. This muscular dystrophy is lacking in vitamins and minerals. So if you've got MD, you know, that isn't that what Jerry Lewis is? Muscular dystrophy, the MD, he's always raising money for research. Well, the problem that you've got with muscular dystrophy is vitamin and mineral deficiency, and that book, Rare Earths, will tell you what the deficiency is. All right, now let me review tonight's program. Calcium and pasteurized milk are directly tied to osteoporosis, and that's because you can't get the calcium out of the pasteurized milk, and so osteoporosis is a calcium deficiency. If you drink raw milk, you wouldn't have osteoporosis. I'm an old man. My wife is an old lady. We drink about a gallon of milk a day, whole raw unpasteurized milk, and we don't have any osteoporosis. We don't have any blindness, deafness, muscular dystrophy. I mean, we're old people. We just kind of eat natural and normal. We eat beans, and we have gas. You know, we're old farts, and we eat beans, and we have gas, but we don't have aneurysms. Now, I don't want to tell you that what you need is more copper. What I'm telling you is that you need to eat a natural diet. If you just eat a natural diet of whole grains, raw foods like raw milk and raw carrots and raw this and raw that and raw fruits. Shucks, folks, you know, you wouldn't have to count all those 92 vitamins and minerals because you've got more than one vitamin or mineral in each food. And instead of going to the supermarket and saying, oh my God, I gotta buy this because it's got these vitamins, and oh, I gotta buy that because it's got those vitamins, you can forget about that. You know, people, native populations that live up in the Andes Mountains, they don't even know what the hell a vitamin or a mineral is. If you said to the guy, is this organic? He'd look at and like look at you and say, well, what does organic mean? It means it doesn't have any chemicals in it. Chemicals, what are those? You know, in old-timey native populations, before we got civilized, we didn't know what the hell organic or chemicals were. My granddad didn't know. He just ate normal, natural foods, and he lived, you know, to be his normal 70 years. Now, none of the Gordons did. Well, I'm talking about the Snyders now, not the Gordons. Hell, all the Gordons died in their 40s and 50s. I'm the longest living Gordon in five generations. 68. Ain't got to my 70 yet, but by golly, I'm working on it. Hope to live to be 70 and get my 70. But I quit eating pig. I quit eating fat. And I started eating a little healthier, better balanced diet than the Gordons have over the last 100 years or so. And by golly, it's paying off for me. Now, maybe it's just Scotsmen, you know, that it pays off for. But I'll bet you that you Englishmen and Frenchmen and some of the rest of you out there probably benefit from it too. So that's why I thought I'd share that with you. Now remember, this guy's name is Joel D. Wallach. He's just funny as he can be. I mean, he's just about as funny as a pea pick in Tennessee Ernie Ford, you know, at a pig roast. You'll just love him. Dead doctors don't lie. Don't forget to tell him you want that. Dead doctors don't lie. And the argument for expensive urine. And then Wallach, now, who is a veterinarian by trade, said, hey, listen, the logical thing to do is you feed your cows, just like we do here on this farm. We feed them vitamins and minerals. We feed our cattle better than you feed your children. And our cattle don't have any dental caries. We don't floss. We don't brush with Crest. None of my cows have any cavities. We don't eat eggs without yolks. We don't eat 1% fat milk. We do eat a lot of beans. And we got a lot of gas. And we got no aneurysms. And it's the diet that we eat. And you can eat it in the city. Hell, you can live there in Los Angeles or Austin or Houston or Miami or Detroit or wherever you want to live. It's not the best place, but wherever you're living, you know, you can eat there just like we eat here if you put a little time, effort, and energy into the problem. All right, that guy's name again is Joel, J-O-E-L-D, Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H. Dynamite guy, and the tape you want is called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. The average medical doctor dies at age 58. Now, of course, they don't eat very well either. So we're going to talk a little more about diet next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But let me give you a final reminder that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals, but by prearrangement only. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.